Ready to dive into some ancient wisdom that's still surprisingly relevant today?
Always up for that. Where are we diving today?
Well, we're taking a plunge into the Bhagavad Gita and exploring this fascinating concept of the three gunas. Have you ever heard of them?
I have, actually. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
And honestly, when I first came across them, I thought, okay, this sounds a bit esoteric. But the more I dug in, the more I realized how much these gunas actually play out in our everyday lives.
It's true. These aren't just some abstract philosophical ideas, are they? The Bhagavad Gita presents them as these forces, these energies that are constantly influencing us.
Exactly. So let's break it down for our listeners. What exactly are these gunas, and how do they show up in our lives?
So we can think of each guna as like a different quality of energy that influences our thoughts, our actions, and even how we perceive the world.
Okay. I like the different qualities of energy. So where do we start with sattva?
Sure. Sattva is often described as the purest of the gunas. It's associated with wisdom, clarity, harmony, a natural love for knowledge and understanding. Kind of like that calm, peaceful state where everything just clicks.
Okay. I can see that. And what about rajas?
Well, if sattva is about peace and clarity, rajas is definitely the energy of action, passion, ambition. It's that drive that propels us forward. It can be incredibly motivating, but also the source points out that too much rajas can lead to restlessness, anxiety, always needing to be doing, doing, doing.
It's that feeling of never quite being satisfied, always chasing the next goal. Been there. Okay, so we've covered sattva, that peaceful clarity, and rajas, the mover and shaker. What about tamas? That one sounds kind of heavy.
It can be. The Gita often describes tamas as the energy of inertia, ignorance, darkness, delusion. It's that feeling of being stuck, unmotivated, maybe even a bit lost, like when you hit the snooze button for the fifth time.
We've all been there. Okay, so we had these three very different gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. But here's the thing that really struck me. It's not like we are one of these gunas, right? We all have all three within us, kind of like a constantly shifting recipe.
You've got it. The source really emphasizes that. We all have this unique mix of sattva, rajas, and tamas. And it's the balance of these energies that creates our individual experiences.
That makes so much sense. It's not about eliminating two and only having one. It's about understanding the interplay between all three.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting because, as the Bhagavad Gita points out, once we understand which guna is dominant in a given moment, we gain this incredible power to understand ourselves and maybe even make different choices.
I'm really curious about that, how recognizing which guna is driving us can actually lead to personal growth.
Well, let's say you're scrolling through social media and you start feeling envious or inadequate, comparing yourself to others. The source would say that's a classic sign that rajas is in the driver's seat.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah. So what can you do once you've made that connection that, oh, this is rajas acting up?
Just noticing it without judgment is the first powerful step. Then, from that place of awareness, you can make a different choice. Maybe you put down your phone, pick up a book, or go for a walk, or have a meaningful conversation with a loved one. Things that nurture a more sattvic state of peace and connection.
I like that. It's not about judging ourselves for those rajasic or tamasic moments, but about recognizing them and then making a conscious choice to shift the energy.
Precisely. And over time, as we cultivate more self-awareness, we can start to recognize these patterns earlier and earlier and make choices that create more of what we want in our lives.
That makes so much sense. It's like we become the observer of our own inner experience. So we know which guna is most active. We can start to make choices to bring things more into balance. But the source material also talks about this idea of actively cultivating more sattva. What does that look like in practice?
Well, the Bhagavad Gita is clear that we can't eliminate the other two gunas. They're part of the world. But we can create conditions where sattva is more likely to flourish. The source uses the analogy of tending a garden.
Oh, I like that. So instead of trying to wage war on the weeds, we're creating an environment where our flowers can thrive.
Exactly. The weeds will always be there. But by focusing on nourishing the soil, providing sunlight and water, you give your desired plants the best chance to grow.
So how do we cultivate that sattvic garden within ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those metaphorical sunlight and water?
This chapter doesn't dive into specific techniques, but it does point us in the right direction. It suggests practices that cultivate more stillness, clarity, and connection.
Things like meditation.
Exactly. Meditation is a big one. Spending time in nature is another. Also practices that nurture self-awareness, like journaling or simply paying attention to our thoughts and emotions without judgment.
It's about slowing down and really tuning into ourselves, which can be so countercultural in our fast-paced world, right?
It can. But according to the wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita, it's in that slowing down, that turning inward, that we create the space for sattva to emerge, bringing with it more peace, clarity, and purpose.
This has been such a rich, deep dive. Who knew that a text from ancient India could hold so much wisdom for navigating the ups and downs of modern life, right?
It's incredible, isn't it? And the best part is that this is really just the tip of the iceberg. The source material goes on to explore the gunas in even greater depth, connecting them to everything from our diet and lifestyle to the evolution of consciousness itself. But maybe that's a deep dive for another day.
I'm already looking forward to that conversation. But for now, for our listeners, it might be interesting to simply sit with this concept of the gunas, this idea that we all have these different energies within us. As you go through your day, see if you can notice sattva, rajas, and tamas at play. What are you feeling? What choices are you making? And how might becoming aware of these energies help you navigate your inner and outer world with a little more grace, a bit more clarity, and maybe even a touch more peace?
That's a great question to ponder. I think I'll be spending some time with that myself.
Me too. Until next time.